Repeat after me, say, the word of God is alive. It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Amen. Great. So participate with me, encourage me as we preach. You know, the word amen simply says, let it be so. Okay. You are in agreement with what is being said. Now, John 20 verse 19, if you can go straight to the word this morning. I'm going to preach fast, so I'm going to ask you to listen fast, if that is possible. Okay, so John 20 verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first of the Sabbaths, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace to you. The disciples were caught up in a very difficult space. They were wondering what has just happened. And the Lord appeared to them, peace to you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Whenever Jesus repeats something, you've got to pay attention. Two times he said to them, peace to you. It means they were out of peace. It means there was turmoil in their hearts. And this morning on this Resurrection Sunday, the Lord is saying to you, peace to you. Whatever you're going through. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this Sunday is like no other Sunday. It is a Sunday that we take a moment to celebrate the very act that makes Christianity to be Christianity. Yes, there are many debates around when Jesus died, when Jesus rose from the dead. You know what? I really don't care about those debates. There's one thing that we cannot dispute. The fact that the tomb is empty. Hallelujah. There's one thing we cannot debate. The tomb is empty. Whether he rose up in April, in January, in December, that's immaterial. The fact of the matter is the King is alive. Glory be to God. He rose from the dead, and today he is seated on the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for the church. And that is what really matters this morning. And I want you to know that in Christianity, there are two events that if you remove them from Christianity, it ceases from being Christianity. The one is the virgin birth. And the second is the death and the resurrection of Jesus. If you remove those two events, we cannot talk about Christianity. And that is why when we take a moment like this, it is important that we pay attention. Hallelujah. Now, the portion of scripture we read takes us into a moment whereby the event was still fresh in the hearts and minds of the disciples. That their king had been martyred. Their king had been violently murdered by the government of the day. And they were filled with fear, trepidation, confusion, perplexion. They were wondering, now what? Have you ever been there? Where you lose somebody precious in your life and you say, now what? Whenever you lose somebody precious to you, life changes. It's never the same. And this is where these disciples were. You know, they had just been with Jesus for 3.5 years. And a lot of them had forsaken everything. You remember Peter saying to Jesus, Jesus, we left everything. You know, Peter was a very funny guy. He would always speak out what everybody was silently saying. So Peter came up to Jesus and said, hey, listen, we left everything. We left everything. What's in it for us? And Jesus being Jesus, he didn't say to Peter, what's wrong with you? You are a selfish guy. Jesus said to Peter, Not one of you who has left mama, daddy, everything for the sake of the kingdom will go without. You will receive a hundredfold, Peter, here on earth and in the afterlife. So take a chill pill. You're covered. Come on now. So here's the disciples crying out and saying, we left everything. We thought he had promised the kingdom, because this is what Jesus was saying. He was saying the kingdom of God has come. And they were all thinking, wow, the Messiah has come. He's going to deliver us from the Roman Empire. And then Jesus was saying, you're confused. That's not the kind of king I am. I did not come here to take arms and to save you from this Roman Empire. No, my kingdom is not of this world. And now the king is gone. And I'm sure many questions were racing through their minds. And they were saying to themselves, were we sold a dummy by this guy? It's Sunday. It's Sunday morning. He's not here. We haven't seen him. Was he for real? Now, were they next on the chopping block? Because they were going to be after these boys. You remember how Peter denied Jesus? He was afraid for his life. Three times Peter says, I don't know that man. And they were now wondering, are we going to be next? A lot of things were going through their hearts and minds. Now, it is within this context that this morning, I want to continue with our teaching series entitled, The Atmosphere for Kingdom Manifestations. This is part 5. You can go on our website, you'll be able to catch up with all the 4 parts. The Atmosphere for Kingdom Manifestations. So Jesus was there saying, the kingdom of God is there. The kingdom of God is at hand. He died and he rose on the 3rd day. And that is what we're celebrating today. And so far we've discovered that each kingdom person ought to appreciate what life in the kingdom looks like. We found that it is only in the kingdom of God that you have access to forgiveness. Very important. It's only in the kingdom of heaven that you have access to forgiveness of your sins. You go try it out in any other kingdom, they tell you you've got to pay for your sins. You've got to sacrifice for you to be forgiven. Secondly, it's only in the kingdom of God that you have access to God the Father. You have access to God the Father in the kingdom of heaven. And we said, it's never the idea of God for a child to be raised without a father. That is why we need the kingdom of God, because he is a loving father. He epitomizes fatherhood. So when you are in the kingdom of God, you have access to a father. Thirdly, last week we realized that in the kingdom of God, you have access to kingdom resources, kingdom authority. Jesus came and said, I give you authority. Go out there, lay hands upon the sick. Cast out demons. In my name we shall drink poison and you will not be hurt by any means. He gave the disciples authority. And you and I, because we are his disciples, we carry that authority. Now, this morning I want to address you on another aspect of the kingdom, which is closely linked to the season of Easter. Now, I want you to realize this morning that when you enter into the kingdom of God, your life stops from being aimless. You are introduced into what I call a purposeful life. I want to talk about a purposeful life, a life that is full of purpose. Are you full of purpose? What are you full of? Ambitions, aspirations, desires. But amongst all of those desires and everything, is there purpose in everything that you're doing? You see, kingdom people are people on a mission. When you are in the kingdom, your life is bigger than what meets the eye. You walk into a room, people will not know what you carry until they get very close to you and they realize this lady is bigger than life. This young man is bigger than life. Why? We live for a higher purpose. Something that is bigger than us. And that is what Jesus teaches us on today, on a day like this, that he rose on the third day. He teaches us that if you are to live life to the full, there's got to be purpose. Why was Jesus prepared to die the way that he died? It's because of purpose. Why was Jesus prepared to forsake the heavenly glories to come down and to be like you and I? It's because of purpose. Now, whilst the disciples were gripped with fear, not knowing what was going to happen next, the Master appeared. I want the Master to appear in my times of fear. I want Jesus to appear in my times of trepidation. I want Jesus to appear in my times of confusion when I don't know what to do next. Lord, appear unto us. Jesus knew when to come in. He knew that at this point in time, when I walk in, I will draw their attention. The Bible says it was in the evening that he appeared to them. But he rose up in the morning. Early in the morning, Mary went to the grave, to the tomb of Jesus, and she was crying, "They took my master. Where did they put my master?" But Jesus appears to them at night. And this is what he says to them. John 20. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Oh, Jesus, wait a moment. Are you not going to explain to us, where were you? Jesus, are you not going to explain to us what's going to happen next? Jesus, are you not even angry that we deserted you at your deepest time of need? Jesus, are you not going to explain to us a little bit what was going on in the past 36 hours? Jesus, are you not angry with us? But Jesus was sending a message to his disciples and to the church today, where he was saying, we have no time to waste by deliberating on our past fears and past failures. We are people on a mission. That's what Jesus was saying. If somebody rises from the dead today, the first words they say to you, you better pay attention. Because that man has been somewhere where you haven't been. So therefore, Jesus is coming back from the dead. And the first thing he says to them, peace to you, gents. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He's saying to them, there is a greater cause to live for. If you are not at peace with yourself, if you are not at peace with God, you cannot walk into a greater purpose. He says to them, peace to you. So on this Resurrection Sunday, you ought to be reminded that you have a mission and destiny to pursue. Without purpose, without a mission, Jesus would not have gone all the way to the cross. The reason why people are not prepared to do things is because they're not living for something bigger than themselves. The day that we embrace, the day that we collide with our destiny, we'll lay everything down for it. Put this down. The resurrection of Jesus initiated a rescue mission for humanity. Jesus came back from the dead and he initiated rescue mission. It's not a recovery mission. You know, there's a difference between recovery mission and a rescue mission. Recovery, they're going to collect dead bodies. But rescue, they're collecting people alive. We are rescuing people who are alive. And Jesus saying, I'm coming and I'm taking people home with me, alive and well, to meet their Father. Glory be to God. And this is the story of the church. We are on a rescue mission. When Jesus came back from the dead, what was in his heart was not so much the comfort of the disciples. It was mission. Do you know that God is not so much interested in your comfort more than he's interested in your character? When life happens to you, it's not so much to bring comfort. It's to build muscles. It's to build resistance. It's to build tenacity, where you say, come what may, I'm going through and I'll do what God has called me to do. Rescue mission. What that means is that kingdom people are purposeful people. And Jesus came on a mission. The Father sent him. A conversation took place in heaven where Jesus said to the Father, "Give me a body and I will go down. Arm me. Make me look like them. Give me a suit that is like them so that I can feel the way they feel. I can see the way that they see." Glory be to God. Jesus came and was born of a woman, and he walked a life like a man, and he died the death of a sinner. I'm talking about Jesus on a mission. In Philippians 2, the Bible says he disrobed himself of heavenly glory. He did not see it as something to fight for. He said, "It's okay. I will go down. Father, I'm living this glory." Because though Jesus was God, but he had lost some of his divinity. He could not be in so many places at the same time. He was a man like you and I. Hallelujah. So he felt what it feels like to be a man. Now, Jesus was so consumed by purpose so that death could not even stop him. And I ask you this morning, what will stop you from pursuing what God has called you? So as we contemplate on the death and the resurrection of Jesus, I want us for a moment to pay attention to this issue of purpose. And I want us to look at the nature of kingdom purpose. The nature of kingdom purpose. Let's explore four aspects regarding purpose. Four aspects regarding kingdom purpose. Because a lot of people live life anyhow. But I want you to realize this morning that the day that you collide with your purpose, things change. Your perspective changes. The way you look at people changes. Hallelujah. So the first issue here is this. Every kingdom person has a purpose to live for. Every kingdom person has a purpose to live for. And I want you to realize this morning, when it comes to destiny, when it comes to purpose, there are no exclusions. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter how you look, the tone of your skin. It doesn't matter what school you attended. I want you to know this morning, you are a person on a mission. Ephesians 4, verse 7 to 8. "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." Child of God, the day that you got born again, something was triggered. Something was awakened in your spirit man. He gave gifts unto many. He gave gifts unto you. He gave you a capacity and ability to do what you alone can do. Hello? I want you to know that our purposes are unique. We might have generic titles. We might call everybody there that you see a pastor, but I want you to realize that every pastor has to understand what makes them them. What makes them unique. Every worship leader, you can call them worship leader, but that worship leader has to understand what makes them different. There are worship leaders who are so prophetic in their worship that when they lead us in worship, the prophetic pops up. They are worship leaders who've been graced by God that when they lead worship, healings happen in their congregation. They are worship leaders who've got this evangelical thing on them that when they worship, people start crying out and say, "Lord, what am I going to do to be saved?" By the time the preaching happens, the work is done already. That is why this morning you need to ask yourself, where are you at? Romans 12, verse 6. "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." We have different gifts, saints. So stop converting my gift. You've got yours. Find yours. Walk in yours. Hallelujah. "According to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, Then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You got to find yourself somewhere. Nobody has been designed to live an aimless life. God gave each believer an ability and capacity to fulfill a specific mission here on earth. Now, we have many kingdom people who are standing on the bus stop waiting for Jesus to come back. Jesus, when are you coming back? There's nothing wrong with praying that prayer. I also prayed, Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha. But before Jesus comes, there's work to be done. Before Jesus comes, there are sinners to be saved. Before Jesus comes, there are poor people who need to be fed. Before Jesus comes, there are orphans who are looking for homes. Hallelujah. I want to be found by Jesus doing what he called me to do. On that day when the trumpet goes, I want to be found in the field doing what God has called me. If the trumpet trumpets today, will you be found in your field? We celebrate the Resurrection Sunday. But Resurrection Sunday has got consequences. And this is the matter. The first thing he said to them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. When I started reading this in this context, it just brought a different meaning to what Jesus was all about. He could have just comforted them and said, Lord, I pray for them. I pray that their hearts will be in a good place. Lord, I pray. No, he said, listen, guys, there is a work to be done. In other words, you are saying, I'm not done. And what I need to do, I'm going to count on you to do it. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. So yes, I'm risen from the dead. I'm passing on the baton to you. Come on now, are you running with your baton right now? Are you carrying your baton in the kingdom of God? 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. Now to each one. So I'm trying to build a case. To say, do not exclude yourself. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For the common good. There are many people who get so stuck in the fact that, I don't have a prophetic gift. I don't have a teaching gift. I don't have a leadership gift. The Bible here, verse 7, I like it. It says here, the manifestation of the Spirit. I want you to know that you got to look inside of you. There is a manifestation that has been triggered by the Spirit of God in whichever way it manifests itself. It does not have to be in the four walls of the church. You've got to say, what is that manifestation? What is that empowerment that came upon me through the power of the Holy Spirit? So a lot of people exclude themselves from destiny because we have narrowed what God has called us to do only to the fivefold ministry. If I don't teach the word, therefore I've got no purpose. No, 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 no. Let's relook at scriptures. It says there, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. What is it? You see, there are good works that God prepared you for. Those good works can only be seen when you rise up and you choose to live them out. Ephesians 2 verse 10. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Good works, saints. Write this down. The church will not live up to heaven's expectations as long as there are believers who choose to play the spectator role. Okay, let that sink in a moment. Heaven has got expectations. The commissioner, Jesus Christ, has got expectations. And he's looking at God Church, Pretoria East, and he's saying, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. But today we've got people who chose to play the spectator role. Well, these days worship isn't really great at church. I'm going to try down the road. These days the church is hot, man. The aircon is not working. Man, did you smell? The church was smelling today when you walked into church. Man, the dustbin hasn't been emptied in the past 2 weeks. Spectators. We watch from the grandstand. I enjoy watching rugby. So, I'm there with my son watching rugby. And I'm very good. I've got ideas. I'm like, no, he shouldn't have kicked that box kick. No, he should not have done that. Very, very easy to say. Until you are the scrum half. Until you're under pressure. And you kick this box kick and it comes back right into your 22. You are not part of the game. You are a spectator. And you've got so many solutions. And that is the reason why the church hasn't done the way it's supposed to. Many believers are sitting on their gifts. Many believers are waiting for the right time. I will wait. When the time is right, I'll do again what God has called me to do. What if the time never comes? There is never a right time for you to step out into what God has called you to do. Every time is the right time. Hallelujah. There's never a right time. So the church will never live up to expectations of heaven as long as we've got spectators in our midst. Number two, your purpose is for your discovery and acceptance and not your decision. Oh, your purpose is not your decision. Your purpose is your discovery and your acceptance. It's like you're born in a certain family. Like, no, I refuse. I refuse to be born in this family. Is that possible? You're born with a certain skin tone. I refuse to be this skin tone. Come on now. The boat has left. Jump in the boat and go where it's going. Hello? Now, many people are caught up in a place where they're debating. It doesn't look great to be an intercessor. Nobody knows that I'm praying. Nobody will ever acknowledge what I'm doing behind the doors. I want to be a worship leader. Whoa. If you do that, you become like a square peg in a circle hole. You always feel out of place. John 17 verse 1. Your purpose is for your discovery and your acceptance and not your decision. It sounds a bit dictatory. It sounds like you're being dictated on. But I want you to know the Father knows better than I do. The Father knows what is best for me. Hallelujah. Jesus, talking about his calling. We're going to camp a little bit in John 17. The prayer, the Lord's Prayer. In brackets, by the way, what we call the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, the Lord was teaching his disciples how to pray. This is the Lord's Prayer. John 17. Because this is when he is praying. I don't know, Pastor, is that true? Okay. It's an opinion, it's a view. John 17 verse 1. This is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son so that I will magnify your glory. You have already given me authority over all people so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that you have given to me. The Son is saying, Father, you mandated me. It's not my choice. You gave me a mandate. And that mandate was to give life. And this is what I've done. Father, you gave me authority for a specific work. Last week you spoke about kingdom authority. So whatever God has called you to, he has given you capacity, he has given you authority to execute. So Jesus is saying, you gave me authority to give life. That is why when his disciples spoke to him, there was a story where a Samaritan village did not receive Jesus. And the disciples say to Jesus, shall we call fire on these people? Shall we say fire? And for them to die. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. I did not come to take life. I came to give life. And this morning, I want you to know that whatever God has called you to do, he gave you capacity for it. The capacity I have is to teach the word. The authority I have is to teach the word. It's not to sing. I don't have authority for that. I don't have grace for that. So when you operate in your area of capacity, it is easier. That is why the Bible says, let everybody act in line with the grace that God has bestowed on them. Hallelujah. So it becomes easy. I had a client in my office a week ago. And I told him, during the day, I'm a consultant. I run a business. But during the night, I'm a pastor. And he looked at me and said, wait a moment. You do all of this, and you've got people counting and waiting on you. How do you do that? And I said to him, grace. The grace of God enables us to do what seems impossible. That is why you can never try and copy what I do. Because if you copy me, you will break. You cannot copy somebody else and say, Lord, whatever you are doing in them, I want to do it as well. No, do what God wants you to do. It will become easier and easier because there is grace, there is capacity, there is a fountain that enables you to give life all the time. Hallelujah. Jesus says, Father, you gave me authority. Jesus did not choose. The Father mandated him. Go to John 8, verse 38. He says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Saints, the day that we receive the calling of God over our lives, it becomes easy. It becomes enjoyable. You can go to bed and you can sleep. My son wakes up one morning and says, Daddy, today I slept like a baby. They say, were you crying right through the night? I say, no, I was sleeping. The day that you collide and you reconnect with your calling, there is a level of peace that comes upon you. A sense of fulfillment that nothing else can bring other than you walking the path that God has set before you. You see, your purpose was put in place even before you were born. It is therefore for you to discover it and not to choose which one should be your purpose. If I can be truthful with you, saints, sometimes I wonder, should I really continue pastoring? Because there are times where it gets heavy, okay? There are times where it's like, Lord, today I don't feel like preaching. But you then go back and say, your grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Your grace is sufficient. Then when we rest in the grace of Jehovah, we are able to carry. Jesus says, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Hallelujah. It will cost us, but it will not be beyond our bearing. It costed Jesus. When you talk about Jesus in the garden of the crushing, in the garden of Gethsemane, there he was crying out three times and saying, Lord, if it's possible, can this cup pass me by? So when you cry and say, Lord, it's impossible, the Father understands. Jesus represents you before God and he says he needs strength. The Bible tells us that as he was groaning and crying in the book of Luke, the Bible says his sweat was like blood dropping down, and then an angel comes down and strengthened him. So many times I've been on my knees and said, Lord, right now I need strengthening from heaven. And without failure, he has come through, he has strengthened, he has given me strength. Why? Because I am in the place that I'm supposed to be in. Do you know that when you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, it changes even the way you pray? It changes even your expectations. Hallelujah. Because you're saying, Lord, I did not bring myself here. You brought it on me. You better see me through. Amen. And he will see you through. Wow. Now, Jeremiah 1 verse 4. God was talking to the young man, Jeremiah. The Bible says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You know, we normally talk with our kids. Before, you know, my daughter was born 2009, right? So Andrew, like, so what was happening before then? What was happening before I was born? And we say, before you were born, you were a prayer. We were praying for you. So you're like, Daddy, where was I when I wasn't born? Like, no, before you were born, you were a prayer. This morning, I want you to know, whilst you were still a prayer in the heart of your mama and papa, the Father in heaven knew that you were going to be born. That is why it was never going to happen for you to be a stillbirth, because Jesus wanted you to come forth. Hallelujah. It's not by chance. It's not an oops. No. Even when your parents were having all of these contraceptives and then you came through, he had you in mind. Like, contraceptive or no contraceptive, you going. So you better live up to why you are here. Hallelujah. Let's avoid what we call wasteful and fruitless expenditure. You know, heaven is counting on you and I to do what we're supposed to do. Hallelujah. Pretoria East is waiting for you and I to appear, to manifest. When that day comes, this church will lack nothing good. Our worship team will lack nothing good. Our financial coffers will lack nothing good. These streets will hear the word of God, because people are rising up, burning with their passion to reach souls for Jesus. Wow. Put this down. Resurrection Sunday is a byproduct of Jesus choosing to live out his purpose to the full. Really, that's what it is. It's a byproduct of Jesus choosing to live out his purpose in full. Wow, let me try and run and finish this. Number three. Many people have got questions around purpose. Purpose always has to do with revealing the love and the glory of God to people. If I can try and summarize it, that's what purpose is. Purpose always, always has to do with people. It always has to do with bringing glory to the Father. It always has to do with leaving people in a place where they say, I want to know your God. Show me your God, because what I have seen in you, there must be more where you're coming from. Then they'll open up their hearts to Jesus. The mission of Jesus is for the salvation of all men. Now, so just that point, you'd realize that the issue of purpose should never be a source of great confusion amongst believers. There are many things we can be excited about. But if those things don't bring glory to God, if those things don't introduce people to God's love, then it's not purpose. It's something else. In whatever you're doing, you've got to ask yourself, after I've done what I'm doing, has the Father been glorified? Has the heart of the Father been revealed to this situation? So that ultimately somebody can look to the Father. That's the whole purpose. In Isaiah 43, the Bible says the purpose of human beings is to glorify God. And therefore, everything else that we do has to bring glory to God. Now, your purpose should leave people asking about the God whom you serve. In other words, your gift is meant to be a tool of people's conversion. Your gift, is a tool through which people are converted into the kingdom. Now, let's look at what Jesus was saying as he was praying to the Father concerning his own journey on earth. John 17, verse 6. I'm going to run through this quickly. But I want to bring a point that purpose always has to do with people. It has to do with us revealing the heart of God to people. So in other words, we don't just make money for the sake of making money. There's got to be an end. There's got to be a byproduct of this issue. Many people are meant to be kingdom financiers, but they haven't connected their ability to make money and the fact that the kingdom is in need of resources. So we've got to always ask ourselves, what does this have to do with people? What does this have to do with bringing glory to God? What does this have to do with reflecting the heart of God to humanity? John 17, verse 6, Jesus says, I have revealed your name to the man whom you gave to me out of the world. You see here, Jesus says, I have revealed your name. I have exposed your name, your goodness to this man. That's purpose. After you've done what you've done, have you revealed God to these people? Go to verse 8. For I have given to them the words which you gave me. In other words, purpose always comes from the Father through you to people. Amen. You are a middleman. Yeah. Okay? The more equipped the middleman is, the more people can clearly see the glory of God. The Bible says we are the image of God. We carry the image of God. We reflect God. You see, there are certain mirrors that lie to us. You know, when you go to a mirror, a cheap mirror, it's hazy, it's not clear, it makes you look good. You go to a more expensive crystal clear mirror, you realize, oh, my shirt is not as white as it is. You start seeing things clearly. And this is the fact about us being a middleman where God says, through you, I want to touch that person. Through you, I want to pass resources there. Through you, I want to strengthen that church. Through you, I want to strengthen that family. Through you, I want to bring about a change in this community. You are a conduit through which God can pass through and reach his people. Verse 8, so for I have given to them the words which you gave me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came from you. Go to verse 14 with me. I have given them your word. Huh. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I have given them your word. Verse 22. I have given them the glory which you have given me. It's about God. It's about people. It says here that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 26. And I made known to them your name. And will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Okay. 1 Peter 4 verse 10. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve one another. It's always about service. It's always about service. When Jesus was about to leave, Matthew 28, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's a great commission. It's about people. Let's look at the last point and we are done. Purpose must be pursued with the intention to finish well. Wow. Jesus on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. But what I find interesting is that even before he went to the cross, he was already declaring it is finished. Put this down. Many people are great starters, but very few are great finishers. We're good at starting projects, but bad at finishing. It's like walking into a house. You can see this guy had a dream. Big dream. But the finishes were bad. You can clearly see the plastering is bad. But the guy had a great dream. It's a mansion, but the finishes are lousy. God wants us to finish well. Someone said you should aim to die empty, so that when we are on our deathbed, we don't regret the way we lived. We should be able to say, I'm ready to meet my maker. Hallelujah. Look at John 17 verse 4. Jesus says there, it's before he went to the cross. He says there, I have glorified you upon the earth. Why? I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus, you're not on the cross yet. Jesus had already walked into the future. He knew nothing was going to stop him. No Judas was going to stop him. No Peter was going to stop him. No soldier was going to stop him. I have finished. We need to get to that point, saints, where we say to ourselves, it doesn't matter what comes our way. You've been hurt before. You are robbing the church because you've been hurt before. We need to come back to that place and say, you know what? Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. I have a race to run. Hallelujah. There are many victories to be won. I'm going to pursue what God has called me. The devil won't have the last say over your life in Jesus' name. The devil has sought to slow us down. I understand there are times where we get to slow down, but we've got to get back into the field and run the race that has been set before us. You see, on the day of judgment, everyone shall give an account. I will give an account of how I've lived my life. My reward will depend on how I have lived my life. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive his due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad.